Going through the car wash this week, Sean Roberts turns green with envy.
Hey, Brian. What an honor.
Yes, indeed.
You don't say that to me. What the hell?
Sean, so I'm just used to seeing your face all the time, Sean. I'm over it.
Age ain't nothing but a number.
How old is Sima? How old is he?
I'm not sure.
How old are you, Brian? 60.
And Brian Baloyi reacts to Rulani's return.
Yeah, that would be, you know, the biggest surprise of the season, the COVID season.
Good day to all SL Radio listeners and car wash supporters. Just before we get into today's show, when we discussed the coach Rulani Mokoena situation, at the time of recording, the news was just starting to trickle out. So we had no way of being absolutely certain that it was true. Since then, it has been confirmed by the club, by Rulani himself. And so when we discussed it, just take it with a pinch of salt. We decided to leave it in the show because it's still a great discussion. But without further ado, let's get into today's episode.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sokola Duma Radio. This is Ahlangana Khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 35. On today's show, we analyze the big three's midfields. We see Sima joins Chipper United. And whether the listeners are listening on SL Radio, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng FM, welcome to Game Time. Shout out to the Northwest region. And now we can dive on in. I am not alone in your eardrums currently. He wore number 30, but he's the car wash is number one. I'm joined by Sean Roberts. How are you doing, sir?
Yes, sir. Nice intro, Slew Dog. Thank you, bro. I'm fantastic.
And, you know, it makes sense that we get you on a web show because we do have Spider-Man himself, Brian Baloyi, the legend. How are you doing, sir?
I'm great. Thank you. And how are you doing?
All good, all good. The only person who tells worse jokes than me is Sean.
Yes.
Do you have a joke of the day for us, sir?
I've got a joke of the day. Apologies in advance, Brian, because these jokes are horrific. But anyway, here we go. What's it called when a dinosaur gets a goal? A dino score.
That might be the worst one, Sean. That might be the worst
one. I'm drying up here, so I'm just clutching the barrels, man. It's so bad.
So slow, you can imagine. I played with him, was it 3 years, 4 years, Sean?
Yeah. 3 or 4 years too long, Brian.
Yes. Yeah, so almost every day, training or on the bus going to matches, I was subjected to all of these. So you only get to hear it only at least once in a week.
Oh, goodness. Look, he's already
good
killing
times,
me slowly,
bro.
Though.
Good times.
All right. We dive on into this first story, and that is we wanted to cover which side in the big three has the most impressive midfield. It's really just an analysis as we're getting back into the football, which, you know, we're still waiting on the exact dates and venues, but it is, we're seeing the teams go back into training now. And so it looks like we're making great progress. So let's have a look at each of these teams, Chiefs, Pirates, Sundowns, Chiefs midfield. Wow. Chiefs midfield evolves depending on the match. We've seen a 4-4-2 with two deep lying midfielders in the middle. We've seen them play with five in the middle of the park with Frostler and Bakas playing wide and dropping down into defense. Katsande, Maluleka and Manyama obviously always kind of feature there in some ways. We've seen them with a standard 4-3-3. To be fair, it doesn't look like there's much a consistency despite their solid results. They kind of seem to adapt to the situation. So what system have you seen them use that looks their strongest, that makes Chiefs look their best?
Yeah, so it's a good question. I've loved the fact how George Maluleka has adapted to the new role that he had at Kaizer Chiefs as more as a holding midfielder. But I've said it before, for me, George is a 6 to 8 goal man season. He should be further up in the park. But in terms of adapting what he did and how he filled in for Katsande in times, was brilliant, but I do prefer him when he's playing in front of Willard, and you've got Manyama as the outlet as well. I think those guys have been absolutely sensational for Chiefs this season, or George was sensational for Chiefs this season. Manyama right up there for player of the season in my eyes at the moment, and Katsanda is just absolutely Mr. Consistent in every way, you know.
Yeah, so now that Maluleka won't be able to finish, won't extend or finish the season with Chiefs, and we've seen the story as to why. But how does Chiefs set up in his absence now, given the fact that they can't replace him?
Yeah, it's they can't replace him just yet. Yeah. But like you say, they've got Backus there, who's it's took him a while to settle in, but he's done very, very well. I like him as a player. He's a good pro. He's got a great attitude, and you spoiled for choice up front. I see they also renegotiated Shangasi's contract as well, which is an interesting one, which I think we'll touch on later. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, he struggles to fall back a bit. He likes to go forward, but he doesn't come back. So that's my only concern. But yeah, I think a Backus will be a perfect substitution for George with him leaving. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, it's just it's a difficult one. But for me, I think when you look at Chiefs' midfield, they have a lot of good young talent that they've never used. And I think for me, Chiefs has been too defensive for my liking. Exactly what you're saying about George, that I would like to see him, you know, going more forward. Type of player he is, the quality, he should be scoring 10 goals at least a season, you know, maybe 5 from like free kicks and then 5 open play. Like I said, Chiefs has been, Parker on the one side, has been as well, had to adapt to a new role to some extent, even to a more defensive role as well. So I think for me, Chiefs, if things goes well, that the season gets on and gets finished, I think they're going to run out of that. There's no that much experience on the sideline to replace a George. When you look at how they've been playing, players that are out there that could play, it's playing a different type of game, and they would have to change their setup. When you look at Pelele, you know, and then there's Ngobo, and maybe then they might have to even use Kama more in the midfield. You know, like I said, for me, I think a lot of times Chiefs. I mean, there's times where you've seen they're playing four forwards in a match. You know. And so their setup is always that there's just defensive midfields and there's just forwards.
So you think they kind of need a little bit more in the middle of the park there just to solidify their attack, perhaps?
I think the coach plays according to, you know, the strength of his team and looking at his style of play, what he has at his disposal, the way they've been playing, I mean, it's been just, I'm sorry to say this, and I know they're not happy with me saying it, but they've been one-dimensional, and that's the biggest challenge. That's the biggest problem. That if you close down, you know, the flanks, that they can, you know, cross the balls. There's not much they can't score from set pieces. If you look at the goals from open play, it's just a handful.
You know, a team that can't be accused of the same thing would be Sundowns. One-dimensionality is not the name of the game there at Klerksdorp. More so, they have consistency in terms of their team selection, but they always manage to do something new in every game that we see them play. We have the mainstays, Hlompho Kekana and Jali in that midfield, and then we have Zwane, Mkulise, and guys like that running freely from wide positions, also cutting in and getting goals. When is Sundowns midfield setup at its most dangerous, and who do you think is the key to that danger, Shono?
Sure, yeah, they're so good. They've got such depth. I think Pitso is so lucky to have the squad that he has. But I think Jali has been a revelation this season. He's been unbelievable. Kekana, I mean, what more do you say about the guy? He's Mr. Consistent. He's just been, although his role is slightly changed, he's absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, you know, Kutsia's done well when he's come in as well. Don't forget him. Moreno, phenomenal. Mafambi, I mean, Swani, Vilakazi. I mean, you spoiled for choice. Mm. And I think now you add in Maluleka, who's going to be going. I mean, it's going to be absolutely lethal. So yeah, I mean, the answer is anyone. I mean, it's been amazing. It's been a pleasure to watch. And they're only going to get better and better with the additions they've made this season as well, for next season. But you can add anyone to Jali and Kakana, anyone, and they're going to perform. They've been absolutely brilliant.
Brian, what has your view been of Sundown's performances this season, particularly in that midfield area?
Yeah, geez, the midfield, like you say, they are spoiled for choice. I think any coach would love to have such an arsenal. When you look at the players, I mean, the midfielders they have there, from Tapelo Morena, Tony Lafour, the Obringoma, Lyle Cave, Opa Manyisa, I mean, Temba's one, Tiani and Kekana, you even struggle, I mean, then Jali, you're even struggling to see where is Maluleka going to fit in that midfield. For them having such players in that midfield, and then they go on and get a Maluleka, and again, it shows that they're more about experience, and all of these players I'm counting here, I mean, it's a players that have international experience at Bafana, players that have international experience playing in Europe, and all of them now having been playing in the Champions League, it's going to be very difficult for them coming back now. It will be difficult for them to lose any games. It's going to be neck and neck. Chiefs are going to have a very uphill battle here.
Another team who would have an extremely uphill battle is Pirates. But when it comes to league football, I always kind of have this sneaky suspicion about the outsider that nobody is giving a chance. And so if Pirates were to make a run, perhaps not a title run, but even just a run for continental competition. You look at that midfield, they're currently playing with four in the midfield, three at the back. They've got Mochware and Makaringe in the center as mainstays. Mm. Vincent Pule, Dube and Mabaso kind of interchanging out wide. We've seen them strengthen ahead of next season already, but if they were to make a run, who, apart from, I mean, we know up top, we know Gabadinho's exploits this season, but that midfield behind him has also helped a lot, found him space and pockets to work through. So do you think, let me actually rather ask it up front, do you think Pirates have an outside chance at challenging Downs and Chiefs?
Of course, they've got a lot of depth, and you forgot Mamela, and for me, just Mamela just playing behind the striker, he's been phenomenal. If he stays injury free, he's one of Pirates' best players when he's on song. And just behind him, if you've got Motsuari and Makaringe, those three for me are the make or break for Pirates going forward. That's my opinion.
And you, Brian, do your eight Pirates have a, if you were a gambling man, would you perhaps take those slim odds of them winning a title this season?
I wouldn't put any of my money on them. For me, I think, look at them, is they have potential, lots of potential in that team, the players there. But for me, I think lack of experience is going to be their biggest challenge. Consistency has been one of the things that has been lacking in the team. But, Mango has been phenomenal. Yeah, I think for me, that's where in this midfield, I think for me, they lack a lot of experience. And for me, the biggest problem, if you look in the last 3-4 years, that's the biggest challenge problem that Pirates has been. Every year they do almost an overhaul. You know, there'll be like 5-10 players coming in, and even players that you never thought that they would let go. Experienced players in that midfield as well that they have let go in the last few years. I think that I believe they should have kept. And yeah, so I don't think they have it in them to really push Sundowns and Chiefs all the way. I don't believe they will.
We will see ahead of next season, of course. This is a rebuild, essentially, for Pirates, but this time with a new coach. They have started adding a few players, but I think we all hope that it's not another thing like last year where it was 10, 11 players coming in and you don't know what the shape looks like. I think they've started to solidify something good here, and perhaps next season they'll be better equipped to make a run at the league title. But before we move on to the next story, let's just take a quick break and listen to these messages. MTV Sugar Alone Together is a Pan-African mini-drama series following friends as they navigate the new normal under COVID-19. A limited social life is as hard as it gets for some, but for others, the everyday strains of isolation, money problems, and life behind closed doors are taking their toll. MTV Sugar Alone Together delves into the untold stories of life through lockdown, featuring faves like Nomalanga Shozi as Mbali and Mohale Mutaung as Udirile. Catch it every weeknight on YouTube /MTV Sugar TV. That's Sugar spelled S-H-U-G-A or Facebook at MTV Sugar. Right. Up next, we have a story that is, you know, it feels like it's developing because there was some breaking news just before we started this recording. But Sean has essentially nipped that in the bud, although I'm still at a loss. But Lehlohonolo Sima has joined Chipper United. We know this. He's been replaced at Celtic by their former captain, John Maduka. And Sima, meanwhile, replaces coach Rulani Mokoena at Chipper United after signing a new 3-year deal with them. And I don't know, he must be Chipper United's maybe 1,000th coach in the past 2 years or something like that. I'm not sure the exact numbers, but the revolving door of the PSL, so to speak, keeps on spinning. And I know, Sean, this is your favorite team, so you have to let me know with Chipper United, you know, what do you think of Sima being added?
My favorite team. You know what? I don't have much of an opinion because we could be sitting here in 5 weeks talking about another coach, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I like what he's done at Celtic. He's a great person. He's a very good coach. And I hope he can carry that through at, in Chipper. And I think Rulani's left a bit of a gap that needed to be filled at Chipper. The players were taking to Rulani quite a bit. It's not an easy team to coach Chipper. And I hope Sima has what it takes. And it's obviously a very results-driven club, as we've seen the turnover in terms of coaches. But I hope that the boss Chipper gives him a bit of time to settle in. I think they're safe from relegation. So I think the next 6 or 7 games will just be really finding his feet and finalizing his squad for next season. And I hope he's given that chance, to be honest, with a bit of longevity, unlike other coaches.
Brian, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Chipper. you can't talk football and not talk about Chipper in this, you know, in the PSL. For me, I think, Lehlohonolo, very, very good person, you know, friend of mine. And for me, I think he's done so well with Celtics. I believe for me, I think it's a bad career move for him. I think just so young as a coach, you know, still starting his coaching career. And to take such a job at Chipper, knowing, I mean, that no one has ever, you know, done a season or two at Chipper as a coach. And then you go there. I'm not sure if it's a financial decision or it's a, you know, football decision for him. I mean, I know he signed a 3-year. And a friend of mine, coach Steve Compella, always says, coaches make more money by being fired. You know, so I guess maybe he knows that he signed a 3-year, he gets fired and he has to be paid out. But for me, I don't think it's a great career move for his CV, for his growing football coaching career.
Yeah. How old is Sima? How old is he?
I'm not sure, but I'm just over 40, maybe 45, 6 around there.
He's 40.
Okay.
Sorry, just 40. Checking. Yeah, he's 40 years old.
How old are you, Brian? 60.
You know, right, cool. You know, I think the strangest part of the story is the fact that why wouldn't he want to finish the season off with Celtic? This was his first full season in charge as a head coach. They've done very well. I know that there was a lot of pressure behind the scenes in terms of low budgets and that sort of thing. But I think they remain ninth, if I'm not mistaken. They've done very well for themselves. It just feels like wouldn't he have wanted to see it through these last few games rather than switching sides before the end of the season, Sean?
I think Brian's hit the nail on the head. I think it could be a financial move of some sort. That's the only thing that I can think about. He's doing so well. He had every right to finish top 8 this season. And it's bizarre. You see, we don't know what's happening behind closed doors. You know, it's easy for us to sit here and say and speculate and say this and that, but we don't know how horrible it was at Celtic. If it was horrible, I don't know, but, you know, that's what I said. There's always three sides to the story. You know, his story, her story, and the real story. So we don't know. Let's see.
Brian, let me get your quick thoughts, initial reactions to this. I want to say a rumor because Sean seems to have heard different things, but this idea that Rulani might be returning to join Pitso Mosimane's staff, what do you make of that?
Yeah, that would be, you know, the biggest surprise of the season, of the COVID season. If it does happen, no one saw it coming. And again, we are now asking ourselves at what capacity if he goes back. If he does go back as an assistant coach, what's happening to Mangoba? And again, his ambitions of being head coach, what happens to you know, those ambitions? Mm. Mm. So there's a whole lot of questions that are going to be in all our heads. And until, if it happens, then we will have to hear from him what was the rationale behind it, him going back to, or does he see himself as a future head coach of Sundowns? Maybe when 4 years down the line, when Pizzo, if Pizzo leaves, then he sees himself taking over, maybe. But again, his time at Pirates, he's told so much. You know, the story he tells about his family, about why he went to Pirates and why he wants to coach Pirates, and, you know, the passion that he has for the Pirates family and the Sono family. So now all that, you know, goes down the drain, and maybe it's a dream deferred. Maybe it's something that he might go back to later. He's still a young coach. Maybe he might still be able to realize that maybe at a later stage.
Yeah. So do you think he can't be on loan from Pirates like he was to Chipper? I mean, this is an out and out purchase or what?
Yeah, if he goes to Sundowns, there's no way it can be that loan. We know
correct.
That.
And it's a tricky one, like you said. Yeah, what happens to Mangoba? I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was talk of him redoing his contract, wasn't there?
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah, and again, I mean, we all know what Mangoba has achieved with Golden Arrows over you know, over the years. For me, when I look at it, him being at Sundowns, for me, it's more, I know he's contributing, he's, you know, part of the technical team, but for me, I would never see him as an assistant coach. He is a very good and astute coach that, for me, it's a kind of a loss to the PSL in terms of competition when it comes to coaching, more especially local coaches. Yes. I would love to see Mangoba, you know, being head coach at another PSL club, and instead of you know, him being an assistant.
Yeah. But the same could be said for Rulani. I mean, for me, he's a head coach as well.
Yeah, I think for Rulani, for now, again, maybe for him, we'd say he's still a bit young. Maybe it could be a good move for him. Like I said, for him, maybe he sees himself being a future coach at Sundowns. Then, yes. I would say that's a good move. I mean, again, with Mangoba, for me, that's a coach that could be at any given time be a national coach.
Yeah.
You know, so I think for me that it's a waste of a for me personally, seeing it being an assistant coach is just a waste of talent for this country.
Yeah, but as the story develops, we'll obviously continue to have a look at it. Have to be upfront about the fact that it's just La Duma that's reported it at the time of recording. And, you know, I was just doing my last prep work, and suddenly I see the story and I'm like, man, really throwing a spanner in my works here. But we move on to our next feature, which is the international news desk, which means that we can welcome the one and only Kirk Buckerfield.
What's up, guys? How's it going?
How you, Kurt?
Good, good. How you guys?
Hi, Kurt.
Hey, Brian. What an honor.
Yes, indeed.
You don't say that to me. What the hell?
Sean, so I'm just used to seeing your face all the time, Sean. I'm over it.
Well, Kurt, I laid a challenge to you earlier this week. Because European news kind of happens very quickly, La Liga, there's matches every day. By the time the Premier League stuff, we talk about it, there's another match or two that have been played. But we have more general topics that we able to discuss. So, in Europe, everyone is obsessed with finding the best young talent, because we've seen the likes of Haaland dominating, Sancho dominating, Ansu Fati at Barcelona, amongst many, many others. Europe is stacked with young talent all over the park. And so I said, Kurt, you're the international news desk correspondent. Pick a under 23 starting 11 for the continent of Europe. What you got for us, Kurt?
Okay, so just bear with me, you guys. I have a few explanations for why these guys have made my team.
It's going to be controversial.
No, I don't think so. So in goal, I went with 21-year-old AC Milan goalkeeper Gianluigi Donnarumma, who is just four appearances away from 200 for AC Milan. I think at 21 years old, that's bizarre. 21 years old. He's also played 16 times for Italy. No, he's brilliant. Obviously, I think that was an easy one. I've gone in a 4-3-3 formation. At left back, I went with Bayern Munich's 19-year-old Canadian international Alfonso Davies. Who's had a phenomenal season in the Bundesliga, so much so that Bayern are said to be willing to even sell David Alaba, who was a staple at left back for them for many years, who's still young. Incredibly talented, but this 19-year-old has been so impressive that they'd be willing to let him go. At centre-back, Slew, I went with young Matthijs de Ligt, Juventus defender, hasn't had a phenomenal season. He hasn't been great, but obviously he's 20 years old. He's learning from the likes of Bonucci and Chiellini, and he will undoubtedly be a top defender for many, many years to come. A Netherlands international.
We did see him in that Champions League run years
back. For Ajax, of course.
Yeah, so he's incredible.
And my other centre-back I went with, Benfica centre-back. Nobody really speaks about this guy. He's 23 years old. His name is Ruben Dias, and he's also a regular for Portugal, regular for Benfica, over 100 games for them. When we speak about young centre-backs across Europe, we're talking about the likes of, Upamecano. But this Ruben Dias has been impressive. He's been linked with Liverpool. He's been linked with a few top clubs, and I have no doubt that he will be a Portuguese international for the next 10 years. I think he's got a great future ahead of him, so he's just one to watch out for. At right back, I went with, this is probably the least controversial of them all, with Trent Alexander-Arnold. I'm sure you guys would all agree with me there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
In midfield, I went with 21-year-old Fede Valverde from Real Madrid, box-to-box midfielder who has been brilliant for Zidane this season. When I watched him in Madrid last year, he was the best player on the park in the Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid derby. So I thought that he was quite an easy choice. Alongside Fede Valverde, I went with Barcelona's 23-year-old holding midfielder, but also versatile midfielder, Frenkie de Jong. Alongside him, Kai Havertz, who is more attacking, who's of course been linked with Chelsea, Liverpool. He's a German international. There's so many other midfielders we could have chosen there. Yuri Tillemans of Leicester, Donny van de Beek at Ajax, Martin Odegaard, who's been brilliant for Sociedad this season, Mason Mount, who's been impressive for Chelsea. And then my front three, it was difficult to leave out the very, very impressive Christian Pulisic, but I went with Jadon Sancho on the right. I went with on the left, rather, I went with Mbappe on the right, 21 years old, 117 senior goals at club level already. And then I went with, of course, Erling Haaland, 19 years old. He's got 44 goals this season. Just incredible player. So, let me know what you guys think. Slu, do you think there are any players who I've left out?
What I find remarkable, there's not a lot that I'd replace there without being biased, but what I find remarkable is the lack of English Premier League representation in Europe's under 23. It's not for lack of talent. There is, but it's just tough to break Jadon Sancho and guys like that out of it.
Exactly. You've got the likes of Marcus Rashford, who's 22. You've got Mason Greenwood, who's 18, who's just, you know, he's having kind of like a breakthrough season. You've got young goalkeeper Dean Henderson, who's on loan at Sheffield from Manchester United, who's been impressive. But you can't really replace the likes of Sancho, Mbappe and Haaland at the moment.
Yeah. For me, this team can win Champions League hands down.
And it would also be the most expensive starting 11 at the moment, the way the transfer fees are operating. Youth and talent means they're going to be like, we won £150 million for the boy, but... That's a fantastic lineup. And then, moving to this next story, one kid who didn't make your list, I see there's Ansu Fati, heir to one Lionel Messi's reign when he is rumored to be leaving. But again, mixed bag of reports coming out about the GOAT Lionel, because on one hand, you have people saying that he has his heart set on leaving at the end of his contract next season. And then you have the Barcelona president who come out and said, look, he said in the past he's going to finish his career at Barcelona. But then how do we trust that board and anything that they have to say? So tell me from an expert's perspective, what's going on with Lionel Messi at Barcelona right now?
So firstly, Slew, we don't trust the Barcelona board. Whatever they say, we do not trust. I mean, I think that's been made pretty clear. But I think Messi at the moment is just, he's fed up. He's tired of the poor decision-making from above. I just don't think that he wants to be used as a political ploy. You know, if Messi signs a contract now and extends, it looks good on the current president. And it could be seen as Lionel Messi endorsing the president. There is a presidential election coming up next year, and there is a favorite for the job. His name is Victor Font, who is supposedly bringing in Xavi Hernandez. And I think that Messi would be very careful of tying himself down now under the current board, because it looks like a win for them, which, you know, is, again, just paper over the cracks. But, you know, he really does have an interest in leaving. I spoke to La Liga commentator, La Liga expert Graham Hunter, who has interviewed Messi many times over the years. He gave me a very different perspective on this. He's brilliant. You guys should follow him on Twitter. He's an excellent football person, great football brain. And, you know, the feeling that we as fans and we as journalists have is that Messi is being wasted, that his final years at Barcelona are being wasted by poor decision-making from the board, poor football, a whole lot of managerial changes, et cetera, et cetera. But Graham Hunter offered me the perspective that, no, Messi isn't thinking like he's a 33-year-old with, you know, two more good seasons in him. He's thinking in the now, and he wants to be competitive now. And that's what's led him to be so frustrated. He wants to win. He wants to win the Champions League. And unfortunately, the way things are running at the moment, it doesn't look like they stand a chance. So, you know, this isn't just an empty threat. Graham Hunter also pointed out that this could be Messi's entourage just kind of putting feelers out there and saying, well, let's see what offers come in. I personally, you know, if I had to put money down, I wouldn't guess that Messi is going to leave. I think that he's just being very careful of looking like he is behind the current president. He is genuinely upset and fed up, and he's had enough. It's not an empty threat. I think it's terrifying if you're a Barcelona fan, which I am, but also, you know, I've kind of had enough of the board making, you know, many, many poor choices. So we'll see what's going to happen. I think Messi will end up staying. I think Xavi Hernandez will come in, and, you know, it'll be the perfect love story once again. But yeah, things are more serious than what we've seen in the past. You know, Graham said Messi has never been close to leaving Barcelona. He's been linked with Manchester City. He's been linked with a few moves away. But the closest he's come, which Graham pointed out to me, was when he was 13 years old, leaving for Espanyol, when there were problems with Barcelona at the time. So
could you have imagined?
It's looking serious.
A Messi and an Espanol shirt would have been a trip. But you know, Sean and Brian, what do you make of this? I mean, the football, perhaps football's greatest ever talent, has given his all at Barcelona. He's already had issues, and I think maybe part of his thinking here is like, look at all the nonsense I've been through with my national team. Now I'm going to have the same type of issues here at home at Barcelona. Where do you think Messi's head is at? They're clearly struggling. Real Madrid are winning every single game. Barca are struggling too. What do you make of Messi's situation at Barca, Shono?
Yeah, I think it's criminal if he does leave, if they let him leave, if they let him get to the point where he really wants to leave. It's not acceptable. So, you know, I'm not a Barca fan, but I mean, he's just, you know, he's one of the greatest of all times. And to see him to be put in a situation where he might leave is not okay on any level. So I hope he stays. I agree with Kurt. I think he will stay. And yeah, I think it's just for the betterment of football worldwide. If he does make a move, it's great to talk about. It's good news and stuff. But for the Barcelona faithful,
yeah, I personally love to see that, actually, you know.
Yeah, yeah, but it would be heartbreaking.
But all of this again, it's kind of educating us to understand how football is run in Spain and throughout the world. And maybe this is a topic for another day to talk about how football is run in South Africa. but for me, it has shown me that it's more than just football. It's a bit of political as well.
Yes.
And you know, with the next you know, elections. And again, remember, even PK has hinted at wanting to stand for the next election. You know, so again, and then there's a bit of player power as well with Messi, with Abidal, you know, but Abidal having been, you know, his teammate at some point. But for me, I agree with Messi that that the team needs to really, you know, get decent players. You know, there's a lot of at the back. There's lots of gaps at the back that needs to be filled. Yes, I mean, we know he's been unhappy with Neymar's situation. So yeah, I think we'll just have to wait and see how this is gonna pan out. But we hope that he will stay, and that all of this is just club politics playing themselves out in the background.
Player power, and that was actually something that Messi was really frustrated by, was the reports that he kind of runs the dressing room. So I do actually find this to be quite contradictory, because, you know, if Barca were to re-sign Neymar, if Neymar were to join in this next transfer window, Messi would undoubtedly stay. So he's basically sending a message to the board saying, well, sign Neymar and I'm happy. But then on the other hand, he's taking offense to reports saying that he calls the shots. So I'm a huge Messi fan. He's my favorite player. But I just want to point out that that does sound a little contradictory. You know, he does have power in that dressing room. And coaches do look to him. You know, they don't. I really doubt that Messi picks the side. I doubt that he's got the whiteboard in the change room saying, guys, this is where we're playing.
Sure.
But, you know, he definitely has power, and coaches are intimidated by him. You want to keep him happy. You don't want to pee him off. It's that simple. You know, you're looking at Messi and Suarez and Pique, and you kind of just want to play to the crowd, and they're looking at you going, what are you doing? But the coach is looking at them saying, well, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
And that's the position that Setien finds himself in at the moment. He's trying to please too many people. But it's definitely, it's definitely interesting. I can't wait to see how it all plays out.
It's a very, very tough one. Messi definitely maybe seems like he wants to, what's the phrase? Have his cake and eat it too, I think it is. I'm not sure. But
for me, I think when you look at team sports, I mean, this topic then takes me to the Michael Jordan story, you know, The Last Dance.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have a successful team without having a one or two players that are really, you know, key to the club, and that really that caused the shock. Ronaldo, we've seen with Ronaldo, even at national team, we've seen it where when they won the Euros. You know, so it is part of, you know, football, and it's this is not something that Messi mustn't just look at it as an yes, it's criticism that comes in, but it's part of the game that he's a winner. He wants to win. And if the club is not signing the right players, why would he want to stay in that environment? Because he wants to win, and he doesn't want to see himself at his age now. I think he still has ambitions of even still, you know, playing at another World Cup or two.
Yeah, no, I have to agree. And I mean, I think we all love Messi. We love watching him play, and seeing him frustrated is equally frustrating for all of his fans. And so we hope to see him stick around. But thank you very much, Kurt Buckerfield, for joining us. It's been one of my favorite international news desk features, actually. So thank you.
Thanks, Kurt.
Cool. Thanks for having me, guys. Enjoy.
Thanks, Kurt.
Thanks.
Cheers,
Kurt.
Ryan. Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
All right, as we move on, we are going to jump ahead to Sean Roberts' feature of The Secret Footballer. The Secret Footballer, for those who don't know, our sister publication, Kickoff Magazine, has this feature on their back page. Somebody anonymous in the world of local football tells a story of what's going on behind the scenes. And Sean is the one who presents it to us. What do you have for us this week?
Yes, sir. So I've gone back in time a bit. I've gone through the Kickoff magazines, and I found this piece, and I quote, "He is a true professional. It makes a difference having someone who has played the game at the highest level to coach you. It's easier to learn from." And I find it pretty cool because I think me and Brian were there at the same time when we won the league with Sundowns 2005, 2006, when Neil Tovey was the coach, and this player talks about Neil Tovey. And Brian, so my question to you is, do you think it is important these days for a coach to have played at the highest level in order for players to sort of retain information a lot easier than for someone that's not? I know in terms of a goalkeeper coach, for sure it helps. That's for me personally, I find it you take the coach a lot more seriously if he's played at the highest level, because you sort of know what goalkeepers are going through mentally at certain stages of the game than someone who hasn't played. So what's your opinion on that in general?
Yeah, in general, I think when I was younger, I always used to think it's the case. It does help, but there are a few, special talents that would emerge as coaches, like a Rulani, you know, that has never played at the highest level, but has the brains for, you know, for the game, has the feeling, has the heart for it. If you asked me 10 years ago, I would have said yes. But now I would say to you, yes and no. And there are special talents that emerge every once in a while.
But I mean, you can agree, if we go back, can you believe it, 15 years ago, but when we won the league, that to have Neil as, you know, you could feel his passion come through. You could see he wanted to be on the field as much as we did. And I mean, I just feel that's sort of lost these days, you know. And it's also sad to see Neil, we can talk about this a bit, that he's left Safa as well. His position at Safa as technical director. So that's a bit of a bum, and that's a loss to South African football, I guess.
Yeah, I spoke to him. He says it's like there's conflicting reports, but he's mostly just keen to get home for a little bit. He's been separated from his family for a while, but it's a guy who's still very passionate and still says that he's very open to coaching, but he just wants to see how things go. You know, he's also had some health concerns, so you know, but speaking of him, is, you know, there's an interview that I did is coming out later, but yeah,
cool.
It still sucks that we've lost him at Safa, but I don't think we're losing him from the world of football, though.
No.
Yeah, I think he did say even that there's possibility that he might even go into management, you know, in the game. But Sean, yes, I mean, having Neil back then as a coach, I mean, yes, it was a special moment for us, an experience. I mean, myself having played with him, you know, at Chiefs, I remember as a young boy having, you know, him playing in front of me. A lot of the things that I learned on how to organize and how to speak, to how to talk as a goalkeeper organizing my back four, I learned a lot of that from him, you know, playing in front of me. No, I didn't learn from the goalkeeper. I learned organizing from Neil Tovey. So, yes, definitely. Is one that we don't want to lose in the game. The football brains that he has is still very much needed in this country.
Correct.
And hopefully, and again, I think with his story, I think we know that there are financial problems that suffer. And some of the things he's not happy with is the plans that he's been trying to roll out that haven't been because of financial constraints.
Which, you know, just seems to be an ongoing topic in the league. Every year we hear of some issues. You know, Neil seems upbeat about the whole thing. He doesn't seem to have any hard feelings necessarily about Safa. Let's dive on into this week in football history.
Today we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from this week in football history.
This is where I rewind the clock, take a look at back at some fascinating stories from back in the day, and yeah, I bring them to you as best I can. So let's start with the oldest one here. So this week back in 1972, Kaizer Chiefs played against Katlehong City and won 10-1 in a league match. I know, you know, Sean, you're old enough to have seen that with your own eyes, right? How old are you?
I was about to say, was Brian playing in that game?
This week, back in 2001, Real Madrid signed two-time Ballon d'Or winner Zinedine Zidane from Juventus for a then world record fee of 76 million euros. Wow. And, you know, that back then that must have been the most, and now we're seeing, yeah, something ridiculous. But I don't think many of the world record fees went on to be as successful as Zinedine Zidane, who not only dominated as a player but also dominated as a manager. So truly historic signing he turned out to be. And then this week back in 2010, Spain captured the first World Cup to be played on African soil, and that brings an end to our 10-year celebration since the tournament. Individual honors from that tournament include Iker Casillas claiming the Golden Glove, Thomas Müller winning both the Golden Boot and Best Young Player, while Diego Forlan grabbed the Golden Ball as the player of the tournament after terrorizing teams throughout the tournament.
Yes.
What a fantastic memory that remains for all of us, despite the heartbreak that we also suffered. So let's have a look real quick. I just want quick comments from you guys here, because there's not really much we can add. But so Minister of Arts and Culture and Sports, Natim Tetwa, on Sunday requested that the South African Football Association, and I'm saying that in full for a reason, assume its expected role of ensuring compliance from the Premier Soccer League teams in their return to training protocol. I'm just confused, because I feel like surely that goes unsaid. It's SAFA. You know, what role are they supposed to assume? Am I right?
Yeah, but that means now that, well, exactly. But that just shows how SAFA and PSL's relationship has sort of deteriorated over the years. And so I understand from this now that the PSL have to report to SAFA. Is that correct?
Yeah, it seems like this, because they have to play an overarching role in monitoring compliance, SAFA. So the PSL is essentially, the government is essentially creating a hierarchy and putting it and making it official, I suppose. But it's just odd.
Yeah, now with COVID, it has kind of showed the cracks, and I think this has to be one of the lowest points in football. And I think for me, it has shown that how deep the divide is, and the relationship between SAFA and PSL. It has to be at its lowest point it's ever been. And I would say good luck to the minister. let's hope for the best. I think we all want to see football back. We all want to see the league finish so that people can plan for the next season, so that we can know what's going to happen. So for as long as you know, the season hasn't been finished and no decision has been made whether okay, let's scrap the season or whatever, you know. And again, for me, I think a lot of players' lives are at stake, you know, with contracts, with all of these things.
Yeah.
So the sooner this is resolved, the better. And for me, I think we hope that it will happen as the minister wishes. But I see this, again, PSL going direct to the minister.
Yeah. So it's an interesting developing one. And the good thing, again, I'll say it again because I don't want it to seem like we're roasting or it's all doom and gloom. But yeah, it's good that we're seeing teams get back to training. That means that we're closer and closer to the return, hopefully, or some form of announcement. But yeah, just if you're going to be in charge of things, just take charge, you know.
Yes, sir.
That's all we want to see. Next up, we have a feature called 10 Quick Fire Questions. 10 Quick Fire Questions is where we get your favorite PSL players on the line and put them on the spot. This week, we have Cole Alexander. And here, have a listen.
Hi, I'm Cole Alexander, and these are my 10 quick fire questions.
Who is the funniest guy in the PSL that you have played with? Who is the flashiest dresser that you've played with?
Ashin Domingo.
Who is the worst dressed? Is he funny because he dresses bad too?
That also, yeah.
What is the worst mistake that you've made in a match?
Worst mistake? I lost the ball trying to shield it out for a corner. They robbed me and scored.
Who is the teammate who thinks that he's funny but actually has terrible jokes?
Samir Doughty.
What is your fondest footballing memory?
Playing for Bafana.
And what is the best goal you've ever scored in a match?
My goal against Pirates. Atlantic crossed the ball and Pirates cleared the ball outside the box. I chased it and took a volley and it went in.
Bang, click, click, bang, as they
That's
say.
That's the one.
What is your favorite car at the moment?
Range Rover.
Range Rover. And what is your favorite local South African dish, food?
My mom's curry and roti.
And last but not least, what is your favorite holiday destination?
Italy, but I haven't been there yet.
Well, it's going to take a while before we can even be allowed to go, I guess.
Yeah.
And there you have it. Thank you very much to Cole Alexander again. Another person whose destination just hasn't even touched yet. We have it a lot.
I know. There's a lot of them, man. But Brian, just a quick one. What's your highlights of your career? What's your best highlight, would you say?
For my career? Jeez, there's always two different. With national team would be playing in the Africa Cup and then going to the World Cup in Italy, in France. Mm. And on the club side would be winning the Mandela Cup.
Yeah, okay, awesome.
Well, I see that we are very quickly running out of time, and so I think we should dive right into the car of the week, seeing as our friend Cole has mentioned the Range Rover is his favorite. What do you have for us this week, though, Sean?
Yes, sir. So Kudakwashi Mahachi has been seen with a BMW 135 convertible. The pros of this car: it's powerful, fuel efficient, it's nimble handling, solid construction, and refined performance. The cons: the cramped back seats, the mediocre interior materials, and most customers are not overwhelmed by the general style. This is an older model of the BMW, so the price is a bit tricky on this one. I give this car a modest 7 out of 10.
Interesting, interesting. Brian, what's your dream car at the moment? What car have you been seeing recently where you're like, oof, I need that?
I've never changed. I've had a 911 Targa. That's always been my, that's the ultimate sports car.
Classic man.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. For today's car wash episode, we will not be ending off on a motivational quote of the week. And that is due to the fact that former Baroka FC star Gunarin Koana has passed away at the tender age of 28. Gone far too soon. He's a product of the Transnet School of Excellence. He's played for TTMFC, he's played for Black Leopards, Chipper United, and he was last seen playing for Magesi FC. And it is tragic news for local football and for the local footballing fraternity. So to all of his supporters, his friends, and most importantly, his family, we at Sokola Duma would like to give you our condolences. We'll keep you in our prayers. All the best moving forward. I know that this is an impossibly tough time, but we decided we'd rather end on a truly somber note because it's a truly somber time. So rest in peace, Kaka. You are gone far too soon. from our side today. Whether you've been listening on SL Radio, Spotify, Apple, Google Play, or Mahikeng FM, thank you very much for tuning in. Huge thank you, of course, as always, to you, Sean Roberts, and a big thank you to Brian Baloyi for stepping in for Teko Modise this week. It's been fantastic, sir. Been a pleasure.
Today is a great day for car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on Sakala Duma Radio. This is a Hangana Corner.